If you have purchased a poinsettia, I have been told you need to pick it up tonight when you leave, if you possibly can, to carry it home with you. Also, the emphasis on Lottie Moon, let's not forget about that. There'll be some young ladies standing at the door, and also the envelopes that you've received. If you have not, you can get one to specify a country. Also, we have some lady that has passed a milestone in her life. I mean, if anybody's ever going to get a crown, she's going to get a crown. And I'm talking about Miss Lucille Brown. She has put up with Jimmy Brown for 51 years today. You talking about a thorn in the side. He's been her thorn in the side. Yeah. Any other announcements? We are glad you're here, glad you chose to come this way. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with, please, to the Gospel of Luke, where we got our Sunday school lesson from this morning. And I was told to cut my sermon short because we were going to go and eat and then have a hayride. So I have really cut my sermon out. I wish the politicians cut some of the pork barrel spending like I cut my sermon tonight. Because I got it where I listened to myself, I preached to myself. It took me about 12 minutes, and I was listening to her. So y'all have to listen to her tonight. Okay. All right. In 1952, Kate Smith came on the stage of Ed Sullivan, and she sung a song. You can help me with it if you'd like to. She says, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. Now, we hadn't had too many white Christmases. I believe 1987 was the last white Christmas we had, and the reason I can remember that is because I'd been in Pavo as pastor, and we come home that weekend to be with the children some and then go back. And while we were here, the snow cluttered the ground, and that's what it done, cluttered the ground. And I had to call my chairman of deacons there and tell him, Brother Gene says I'm not going to be able to go back and preach Sunday because we've got snow and they won't let us go. And he said, boy, that's some kind of an excuse. But that's what happened. The roads, they would not let us go. But I want to change the title of that a little bit. It's titled that I'm dreaming of a right Christmas, a right Christmas. When we think about a right Christmas, what does it mean? Christmas is a time of the year that the tenderest thoughts of the home should well up in our hearts. And yet Christmas, for many, many people, is the loneliest time of the year. Did you know statistics tells us that more people commit suicide during the Christmas holidays than any other time of the year? Why is that? In the midst of the festive joy of the holiday season, and it is the loneliest time of the year for so many, many people. Why is that? Why is that? That's why I say I'm dreaming of a right Christmas, a time when we put the emphasis where the emphasis belongs, and that is on Jesus Christ. A Christmas that is more than presents and parties and parades. We need to have a right Christmas as described in the book of Luke as we look tonight. In fact, the shepherds were the first to really have a right Christmas. And we can look at their example, and we can do the same as they can. We can have a right Christmas. Would you stand before the reading of God's Word? Luke 2, starting in verse 15. I'm going to move, into the middle of this, so you bear with me, okay? It says in verse 15, it says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, as we bow before you tonight, we come with grateful hearts, full of gratitude, O God, for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We praise you, O God, for your faithfulness, for your care and for your concern and your compassion upon us. Oh, Lord, the longest word in the Bible is your long-suffering toward us. And I thank you, O Lord, that you care about us and you're concerned about us. And I pray, Lord, tonight that as we look together in your word, that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds of the things you'd have us to know. And Lord, more importantly, the things you'd have us to be about and to do as your people. I pray, O God, tonight that you will bless those that are unfortunate, those that could not come tonight. We pray that you will bless them in a special way as only you can through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit as you move into the circumstances of their life. And I pray, O God, tonight that you would just magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst, that, Lord, we would hear from you what you desire and want to say unto us, that we may understand what it means to have a right Christmas, the kind of Christmas, Lord, that you intended for mankind to have. And I pray, God, that you'll just use me as only you can. Once again, I pray, oh God, ask you to take these feeble lips of clay and speak through them the truth of your word, the unsearchable riches thereof, that each and every one of us may be drawn magnetically to you and to each other in that bond of your perfect love, the love that contains us and constrains us and keeps us bound together for your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' strong name and for his sake. Amen. What did it take to have a right Christmas? As we look at this passage, we can see that the shepherds had a right Christmas. First of all, as we look at it there in verses 15 through 16, they calculated it very closely. As we look at that passage, we'll go back and look at that because there's something that is said there. It says, let us go and see. They nailed down what had happened. They nailed down what was there because they understood. They calculated it. When you go to balance your checkbook or balance your budget or whatever it is, you calculate all the things and you look at it very closely. Those shepherds, they looked at it very closely. They calculated what took part. The shepherds were in the field. And let me tell you something, everything was going normal just like it always had been doing. I mean, they had been keeping those sheep day in and day out. Many scholars believe that they were four of them. I don't know how many they were. They could have been a dozen. I don't know. But anyhow, they were there, and they were methodically doing what they had always done, and that was keeping sheep. And they kept sheep, and many scholars believe also that these were the sheep that were kept on the outskirts of town that were used for sacrifice. I don't know that. That's just some speculation. But it very well could have been because as the message was given to them. But the thing about it was, as they were doing their normal, very normal, everyday thing, suddenly something happened. God stepped in through the message of the angels. And as we look at this, it was something very unusual that happened. They calculated among themselves concerning God's revelation of the Christ child to them. And that's what it was. It was a revelation. Then they immediately acted upon the message. They immediately acted upon that. They went to Bethlehem and they had to search for Jesus. And when they found him, they shared their experience with Mary and Joseph. If we look at the scripture very closely, we see that. And they in turn shared their experience of what happened to them with the shepherds. And everyone was encouraged because of what happened that first right Christmas. And let me tell you something, when we get in the right spirit of Christmas, there can nothing be but encouragement for us today when we look at what transpired, when we look at what took place, when we look at what happened, we can be encouraged by the event that took place at the first Christmas. So they calculated it very closely. They looked at it very closely. But the second thing they did is they contemplated it very cleverly. Verses 17 through 19. Look at it with me again. It says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They contemplated it cleverly. What had just happened? Perhaps God had allowed some circumstances in your life to cause you to stop and to contemplate about certain things. You know, sometimes God works like that because sometimes He has to get our attention just like He got those shepherds' attention. And we wonder why God used that method, why God chose shepherds, because shepherds were not qualified, if you please, and use that term, to give a testimony in court. It had to be three of them agreeing on the same thing, asked and talked about independently, and everyone had to agree before any testimony or witness of a shepherd was used. They were the lowliest of the lows. They were the ones who were less thought of. And yet why God, in His infinite wisdom, allowed His Son, the message of His Son, to come to shepherds. I'll tell you one reason. Because, see, they kept sheep, and Jesus came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And you know what? Even though the religion, and I said this morning in the Sunday school class, God did this to mess up religion. I mean, to shake up religion. Because, see, they didn't come to the religious establishment. It came to those who were on the outskirts of religion, who even maybe cared for the sheep of those that were offered in sacrifice. And yet they had a message, a glorious message to relate. Yes, they contemplated it very carefully. But look at it very close. We need to take time to realize how important it is for us to pause and remember why He came. Why did He come? Luke in his gospel says Jesus came for the purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. To seek and to save that which was lost. When we think of this baby coming, the message of that, and the message the angel gave to those shepherds, yes, it was a message that they contemplated very carefully. The reason for His birth. When was the last time you took time to contemplate all that the Lord Jesus has done for you? What if you stopped really to think about it? I was talking to a man just this week, and we were talking about the very same thing. So many times in our life, if we're not careful, we do not stop to thank God for what He's doing in our life. We do not stop to thank God during what the process of time. Let me tell you something. I have learned as I've got older, there were many blessings God bestowed upon me that I took for granted along the way. We take it for granted because, see, we're in that good health standing. We got a good job, and all these things is going our way, and we just think God owes it to us, and it's just going to come along and happen. But let me tell you something, friend. Everything that we have or hope to have is a blessing from Almighty God, and we need to stop sometimes along the way and contemplate God's blessings, because many times we take them for granted. I want to thank you as a church. And my brother wants to thank you. And Bill and Kim wants to thank you. And Michael and Carrie wants to thank you, because the baby, they got a clean report Friday evening on the baby. Nothing but answered prayer. Michael on a mission trip to Russia and also to another country. I can't slip from mine right now. But there were people in Russia and other countries praying for that baby. But let me tell you something. God intervened in the circumstance because the doctors were baffled because it had not gone any further than the tumor that they took out. And we can thank God for that. Sometimes we need to stop and just contemplate the blessings that God poured out upon us. We need also to celebrate it clearly. Celebrate it clearly. What they had found to be true. If we're going to experience a right Christmas, listen to me, a right Christmas, we will celebrate it by glorifying and praising God. Look at verse 20 with me. It says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Yes, they went about praising and glorifying God. We will and must celebrate it by, first of all, singing about it. That's why I like Christmas time, where we can sing those Christmas carols we don't sing but one time a year, and this thing is pulling my head off. Kind of like the preacher was hurrying to somewhere, and he ran over a cat in front of this people's house, and he didn't know what in the world. He was running late already, but he says, I just cannot leave it there. So I said, I need to go. Let me get this thing up. Said, I need to go tell somebody. And so he went up the door, he knocked on the door, and this lady comes and says, ma'am, says, I hate to tell you this, as I run over your cat. She says, "What did he look like?" He says, "She says, I mean, before you run him." He said, "But the thing about it is, they celebrate it by singing. That's why I like Christmas carols this time of the year, to sing it out, to sing it out." We some of them's hard to sing, I know, but let me tell you something. I love to try to sing them. We need to also not only sing, we need to say it over and over to ourselves, saying it to ourselves, saying it to others. We need to share it. Share it with others we come in contact with. Let me tell you something. Our society says you can't. And our judicial system says you can't. The Supreme Court says you can't. But God's Word says we can. And we need to be about sharing the good news of the gospel. Why? We need to celebrate it. Why? See, our hearts should be filled with joy. And when our hearts are filled with joy, Christmas is made known very, very explicitly through our being. That's why we can show it as well as share it. Christmas more than just presents and food and decoration and Santa Claus. And don't ask me how he got into the picture. I don't know. Well, I better not go there, make some people mad. Christmas is knowing that a personal relationship has been established with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is. The shepherds returned to the fields with celebration in their heart for all that they had been told to them, all that had been told to them, and we too need to celebrate the true message of Christmas that has been shared with us. Let me tell you something. If he is not the reason for the season, we need to cancel it all out and go home. Because let me tell you something, when you take Christ out of Christmas, you take the Word, you got M-A-S on end. You know what that is? That's a mess. And that's what the world's trying to wrestle with and contemplate today. But thank God for those of us who know the reality of Christmas. Yes, we can calculate it as they did. We can contemplate it. We can celebrate it. But also, we can circulate it constantly. Look what it says. What this meant to them. What does it mean to a lost and dying world? What did it mean to them? When you think about it, they circulated it. They made it known abroad, it says there in verse 17. Made it known abroad. The shepherds couldn't keep it to themselves. I mean, they were just elated in what took place. And let me tell you something. You can sit there like you want to in a knot on a log, but let me tell you something. I believe you'd have been the same way. If you would have visualized and seen what they had seen, and you had experienced the angels and that glorious heavenly host praising God, I believe to myself you'd have been beside yourself. Because it says, and they were sore afraid. That's exactly what that term means. They were beside themselves. In other words, they were outside themselves, wondering what in the world has happened. Because, see, they could not fathom, they could not comprehend, because this day's drudgery had ended in something spectacular. Let me tell you something. When you look to God and want God to work in certain circumstances, situations, just trust Him and look to Him. Just allow Him to work in it. The shepherds could not keep it to themselves. They had to tell others. If we have a right Christmas, we ought to share the good news of why Jesus came so that others can personally experience Him and the saving power of Jesus Christ within their heart. See, Jesus came to be born, as it says in Bethlehem. The term Bethlehem means house of bread. And He came and He was put in a feeding trough, a manger, the very bread of life. And there He was, open to all the world to partake. But do you think all the world partook of Him? No, when Jesus came on the scene, what transpired and took place? What took place? Mary and Joseph found no room at the inn, and the only place that Jesus was accepted was on a cross called Calvary. A place called Calvary, Calvary's tree. People made room for Jesus on the cross, and that's the only place they made room for Him. The only place Jesus wants in this world today is to find room in your heart and mind. Your heart and mind. Then they confirmed it courageously. Back to verse 20. They only, as we look at that very verse there, it says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Yes, I believe they confirmed it courageously, and when I think about that, I think about how they were willing to share. The Bible says that wherever they went, they shared it. Let me tell you something. We have a message, and they might have been like, You know, the commentators and the theologians and all those say they might have been very unlearned and ignorant. But let me tell you something, that they were there doing their job. And God stepped on the scene. Let me tell you something, He stepped on the scene in your life and my life. And what He wants us to do is to relate the message of what's taking place in our life. Then and only then can you really know. Then and only then can you really know and have a right Christmas. What would it take to make a right Christmas? What would it take? I wrote some things down as I thought about this over after I got through the message, so I got a little time. We ain't not going on a hayride, so I got a little time. See, your dreams can become a reality. What would it take to make it a right Christmas for you? Let me tell you, first of all, it is the first of all to be rightly related to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. John 14:6, Jesus says that I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. No other way. He's the only way. Second thing, to be rightly related to His church by baptism and church membership. I don't believe a person can be rightly related to the Lord until they are rightly related to His church, which is His bride. And I believe if we're going to be the people we need to be, we need to recognize the ministry of the church and the mission of the church, and we need to be involved in carrying out every aspect of it we possibly can for the glory of God. To be rightly related to His church by church membership and baptism. Also, to be rightly related to friends and family by relating just how much Him saving you means to you personally. See, this message to them was personal, and they shared the personal experience of what took place in their life as they shared it with Mary and Joseph, and then Mary and Joseph shared what happened in their life, and they went out and they made it known abroad, the scripture says. They shared it personally. You might be the only one that can lead or tell someone else about Jesus where they really hear it deep down in their soul. Period. So, how can our United States be right? What about our nation? Can she have a right Christmas? Our drug and alcohol dependent as we are, can we have a right Christmas? Boy, you think about if Jesus' conception would happen in our day, man, Planned Parenthood would try to talk her out of having the child. They said, you have an abortion. That's the best way to get out of this, get out through with it. Money that we fund for, no, let me don't, I don't need to go there. It's bad taste. But the thing about it is we need to recognize that for our society, our nation, to have a right Christmas, we must put Jesus in His proper place and position in our world, in our society. And let me tell you something, we're living in an antagonistic society against anything that deals with Jesus Christ as Lord of glory. They don't want to hear that because, see, you're narrow. You're let's just face it, you're a square. You're a square whether you like it or not. So tonight, what would it take for you to have a right Christmas? If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the first and foremost thing you need to settle. To know Him. Because see, when they come to know Him, they shared Him with others. To be rightly related to His church, to be rightly related to family and friends, and to not to dwell on all the wrong in our society. Because let me tell you something, Jesus can right everything that's wrong. Period. Let's pray together. I do not know your heart tonight, but God does. You know where you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not standing with Him, you're standing against Him. My prayer tonight is that you would come to know and realize that He loves you and He cares for you. He came into this sinful, wicked world and died for you so that you could have everlasting, eternal life with Him, the Father. If you're here tonight and maybe things has happened in your life and you've done some contemplating even while sitting here, God may be saying to you to look at things more closely, to trust me more, to come and lay your all on the altar before God. Because many times He speaks to us in a service such as this, for us to square off with Him. Sometimes these decisions means just as much as salvation experience, because we say, Lord, I realize that You want to be Lord of my life. Father, tonight You know each heart. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know where we live. You know our address. You know everything about us. Even the hairs of our head are numbered, and You got the count. And Lord, You not only care about our physical, but You made provision for our spiritual being by sending Your Son that first Christmas, that right Christmas, when everything, as Paul says, was just right, Galatians 4:4. And You came so that we could go. You came into a sinful world so we could go where there is no sin with the Father. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd help us each one to recognize and understand what is best for us. Because it's what You have, it's what's best. And let us surrender and submit to You as Lord and Savior, as Master of our life. God, whatever decision needs to be made here tonight, we pray through the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit right now that You would make Your will known, and Lord, You would help that individual to step out in simple childlike faith and trust You more than ever before. In Jesus' strong name we pray, and for His glory alone, amen.